Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, another guy who had a few things to say to the media, veteran tight end Jason Witten, is backing his owner. After Jerry Jones was critical of the Cowboys' performance and specifically the coaching staff following their 13-9 loss against the Patriots, Witten said he understood where Jerry was coming from and called his comments, quote, completely fair. So, Shannon, are you surprised that Jason Witten would say this?
Yes, I'm shocked. I have a simple philosophy. I believe if I'm a player in the locker room, either I keep my mouth shut or I'm backing my coach. I understand that Jerry is frustrated. We're all frustrated. But there's no other coach I'd rather be and have be in this situation with than Jason Garrett. That's my coach. I'm backing my coach. Because you do realize, Garrett says, you know what? We could have had a drive, but we had a guy to drop a ball on key third down. Mm-hmm. That ain't none of my business. I don't even know why I brought that up. There have been some opportunities.
You know what? He could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were two big drops.
Oh, really?
By number 82.
You showed him one couple of weeks ago. He had it on third down. He had to get the ball punched out of his hand. Mm-hmm. Because the way I've approached this, Skip, for me, and on my watch in my 14 years, I've had two coaches dismissed from their jobs under my watch. Mm-hmm. That's my fault.
Yep.
I didn't perform like I was supposed to. Jason Garrett, you do know Jason Witten, you do realize if they fire Jason Garrett, that means the players have not performed. Mm-hmm. And last I checked, you brought your ass out the booth to come back.
You have
not performed.
That is true.
So it's easy to say, oh yeah, Jerry. He wants to win. He's so passionate. I'm glad winning is mutually exclusive to the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody else wants to win. Mr. Kraft doesn't want to win. The Rooneys doesn't want to win. The Maras, the owner of the Giants and the Titans, they don't want to win. No! The Yorks and San Fran, nobody wants to win but Jerry. Hmm. Only Jerry and Cowboys fans wants to win. That is the delusion that's afflicted the Cowboys fan. That is the delusion that's afflicted Jerry Jones. And you know what? Because Jerry got them gassed up. Jerry had these guys think they win the Super Bowl. Mm. Oh, this is as much talent. And even Jason, he chimed in. Since I've been around with the Cowboys, this is much talent we've been around. Guess what? Doesn't win you anything. You'll be the most talented Cowboy team ever not to make the playoffs. Because that's the way you're headed. Under no circumstances. I understand the owner oversees everything and he cuts the check. But I'm never, ever, never stepping out of line with my coach. I'm riding with him. I'm riding with him.
So, I greatly appreciate all the insight you just provided our viewers. You nailed it this time. Jason Garrett did not stand beside and behind his head coach. In fact, I wasn't in the locker room, but I scoured for any quote from any player that would back Jason Garrett yesterday, and I found zero.
Oh.
Nobody stood beside or behind the embattled under fire head coach. Not one player stepped up and said, we are going to rally around our coach to effectively save his job. That tells you all you need to know about what's going on with Jason Garrett. He has run his course with that football team. That football team has tuned him out. It does not care about him. There's no love lost there. They don't hate him and they don't love him. He's a zero to them. He is inconsequential. And Jason Witten, who will play politics when it's time to play politics, he knows where the bread is buttered. He knows where the bucks literally stop. He knows who controls the purse strings. That guy, Jerry Jones, does. So it didn't surprise me at all that Jason defended his owner ahead of his coach, because Jason's voice still carries some weight in that locker
because
room.
Because it wasn't the coach's decision that Jason came back. That was Jerry Jones' decision.
Okay, well, it was probably Jason Witten's decision. I mean,
Somebody had to bless it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It came from the top. And was there a little bit of marquee value to it, a little bit of salesmanship going on? Because Jason still sells to Cowboy Nation, right? Sure, there was. But the point is, Jason Witten fears Jerry Jones. Jason Witten does not fear Jason Garrett. You with me?
Yeah.
Because the coach strikes no fear in the locker room in anybody's heart.
Because Jerry has stripped him of that ability to play fear.
I don't think he had it in him to start with, but whatever little that he did have, you're right. stripped. He is undercut, undermined by the owner from day one. But the locker room knew that. And I told you, I'm going to say it one more time. When they got so talented and played at such a high level in 2014, Jason got to go along for a great ride. Yeah. Coach Clapp. When Dak fell out of heaven into their laps in 2016, Jason got to go along for a great ride. But all of a sudden, when they need somebody to strike some fear, to make one move that reunites and ignites the locker room, he's incapable of doing it. And they all told you yesterday in silence by showing you that they're not going to defend him. They don't care. He's irrelevant to them.
But let me ask you a question, Skip. Do you actually think Jerry would have done this to Bill Parcells or Jerry Jones? Would he have said what he said about
Jason Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells. Would he have ever uttered those words that he would have uttered after the game?
The critical words,
yes.
Right? No, he would not have.
You know why? That's why he hired Jason Garrett. This is why he had Barry Switzer, mm-hmm. Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, Wade Phillips, and Jason Garrett. Because they will not stand up to him.
Yeah, I think Barry Switzer would, but they were so close because Barry coached at Arkansas when Jerry played at Arkansas. So there's a deep bond and respect between the two of them. But you're right. You're right on all the other ones. I'm with you on that. And by the way, we have a new quote from Jerry Jones to your point that we should – I'm going to read it right now if we could show it. This is recent from Jerry Jones. No one has earned the right to say I'm a Jason Garrett man more than me. I don't have to win the Super Bowl in business every year. I can come in sixth and have a hell of a year. But in this business, you got to come in first. I want Jason to get it done. Okay, so what he's saying is, I still love him like a son. I'm rooting for, no one's rooting for Jason more than Jerry Jones is. But he has turned a corner to where he's finally put him on public notice. He's gotten angry with him to the point that when Jerry loses his temper, he can lose all control and just boom. So what did we see? I'm going to remind everybody. He got mad at Jimmy Johnson repeatedly, but the final straw was at the owners' meeting after they won their second Super Bowl together in 1993. So it was in, I believe, February, maybe March, maybe early March. It was in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. And they were at the hotel. They went to a restaurant near the hotel. I think it was maybe in Disney World there, but they were at this little restaurant and Jerry just happened to walk in. The coaches were there and Jimmy was at the head of the table and they were all drinking whatever they're drinking. And Jerry walked up and stood by the table and proposed a toast to the Cowboys. And everybody, of course, clinked glasses except for Jimmy at the end of the table and he wouldn't even lift his glass. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he wasn't even invited.
Thank you. That is correct. That was the final straw. And effectively what Jerry saw on the field Sunday night was close to a final straw with Jason Garrett in a different way because the team knows the owner has a bad temper, an ugly temper, mm-hmm. that if he ever loses it, he strikes fear. Like, Jason Witten is afraid of Jerry Jones. He's afraid of the temper.
But here's the thing.
Because they know he fired Jimmy Johnson after two Super Bowls.
In order for him to stand up to mm-hmm. Jimmy, mm-hmm. he had to fire him.
He did.
But he belittles Jason Garrett in every chance he gets.
I mean, not openly, but sort of between the lines.
He never said nothing. Skip, Jimmy had been blatantly disrespectful mm-hmm. for Jerry for years.
For years. Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. And Jerry never said, they lost the game, he never said anything. But the moment Jason Garrett loses a game or doesn't go for it on fourth down or a play gets blocked, mm-hmm. he calls him out.
That's true.
Do you actually think if you actually think Jason Garrett would have backed his owner over Jimmy Johnson? Because Jimmy would have got his ass up out of there. You know why Jason doesn't fear Jason Garrett? Because he knows he got that guy in his corner. And ever since Jimmy left and ever since they got rid of Parcells, players have had a pipeline. They can weave their way, go right up and talk to Jerry above the head coach.
You can make that case. It's why I've always wished that Jerry's wish could come true. I could coach the you-know-what out of this team. There are times I wish, you know what? I wish you could be the head coach because they would fear you. Of course, the buck stops with you. And he's been the general manager from day one.
Yes.
So don't call him the owner. He's really operating as
He's been the owner, the general manager, the VP. He's been everything.
He's everything.
Yes.
He controls everything. Yes. His opening press conference when he took over in 1989 was, I want to know everything about this franchise down to the socks and jocks.
That's what he said.
Socks and jocks. Yes. So he knows all, and he wants to control all, except he's not the head coach.
No.
So in the end, I wish he could be the head coach.
Just, he can.
It'll never happen, but again.
Because he don't want, he yeah. wants he wants all the credit when they win and none of the responsibility when they lose. Because if he's the head coach, now who you gonna blame? Yeah, all the talent that you've accumulated.
If he really thought he could get away with it, I think he would coach the team. Not in at this age, but if maybe 10, 15 years ago, he would have coached.
Yeah, maybe early on. Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't know. But he still seems to have high energy. I would love to see him give it a try.
That would take a lot out of the guy. Ooh. Jeez, he takes it on as
you know good word,
enough
Gary's
as it
not
is.
Gonna coach.
Well, I know, but seriously, he's got the makeup to inspire a football team. Because, listen, you want to talk about a super salesman? If you sit with Jerry Jones for like 5 minutes, you're ready to run through the wall.
He got personality like no other owner you've ever been around.
It works.
He's infectious.
It cuts through. It breaks through.
Jerry starts to talk, and you believe everything he said.
Yep.
You know it's a lie, but
really?
He's so
that
convincing.
Is that is true.
Oh, man, he's great. This is why all the players that's ever played for him speak so glowingly about him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the aspect that if you work for him and you're the head coach, the part that you despise. Because he takes nothing into account that there has to be like, oh, come on
yep.
now. You can't say certain things
and
publicly.
Trust me on this. I have seen Jerry Jones lose his temper. It is scary. It's why he's a good commanding officer of the whole franchise.
Right.
Because everybody who works under Jerry, they're afraid of
him. Yeah.
Nobody's afraid of Jason. He doesn't lose his, at least I've never seen him lose his temper. I'm sure he has. But I don't think anybody fears him losing
his
temper.
What are you going to do? He loses his temper and do what? Cut me?
Yep.
Hey, Jerry, guess what? Jason Garrett said he cut. Fine, going back down to meetings.
He could call you out publicly, but he's not built like that.
It's interesting.
How you going to call the man out publicly?
Yep.
You got to clear that with Jerry. Jerry, do you mind if I call this guy publicly? No, don't do that. And now then, where are you? Because you know he has to run everything by Jerry.
It's interesting dynamic that both of you guys have spent so much time. I know you've spent so much time with
just
him.
Just being around
the dynamic
him
of the Hall of Fame. And it is interesting that both of you know so much about him because I think that his words are beginning to be more and more telling with his frustration.
Yep.
So we'll see if they get it done tomorrow. We'll have more on that game. But first, what in the world is going on with Brady and Belichick this week?
Yeah, we're going
things on. Are weird, and we're going to try to make sense of it.
Next. No mercy.
There is some highly abnormal behavior coming out of Foxborough this week. Bill Belichick took time out of his day yesterday to discuss his role on the selection panel for the NFL 100 all-time team, saying that the overall experience has made him a better coach. Meanwhile, Tom Brady uncharacteristically spoke about his recent elbow injury during his weekly radio interview. And Brady said he's been getting ahead of the injury and expects to be feeling better this week. So, Shannon, what do you make of all this?
Skip, you don't want to go further on the elbow?
Yeah, I'll go.
Skip.
Did I say Shannon?
Okay.
My bad.
It's okay. It's
Skip.
Okay. So let's think about this. What do we have in the last 24 hours? We have Tom Brady doing something I don't think he's ever done
ever.
Before.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is going to specifics about an injury,
right.
This one to his elbow. Bill Belichick, to my knowledge, did something he has never done before, to the point that Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN.com, said he took a rare break from his usually laser-focused approach to the next opponent to elaborate on what Bill called a great experience. So what did he do? He wanted to talk, or in my opinion, gloat about, I've been a key figure, a key component in selecting.
I was selected.
Yeah, right. And I was selected, but I'm the coach, because I'm the greatest coach ever, who's been watching tape of all the greatest players so that I could help select what's called the NFL 100 all-time team, slowly being revealed. So the point is, he wants to say, hey, everybody, look at me on a Tuesday when usually he's on to Cincinnati or, you know, on to
whoever
Houston.
It is this
week. They're actually
Houston
going
Sunday
to Houston.
Night, right?
Yeah. And what is Tom Brady saying? Tom is saying, hey, everybody, I'm actually playing hurt. I'm doing this in spite of my elbow, because what really shocked me was I assume Brady demanded this happen. But remember, after Friday's practice last week, for the first time in forever, Tom Brady was on the injury report as limited after the Friday, not the Wednesday or Thursday, but after the Friday practice. It's never happened before. He wanted everybody to know, I'm playing hurt. Mm-hmm. So what is happening? The battle between Belichick and Brady, the ego battle, is quietly raging between the lines and under the surface. Oh. And we've been talking much of this morning about Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett, which is a very good story. This is still the best story in the NFL. Even though it's a little off radar, you can just see the ego battle going on between Tom Brady saying, hey, we're 10-1, I don't have any weapons, and I'm playing hurt. And Belichick saying, hey, everybody, I'm the key component in selecting the top 100 all-time team, right?
Yep.
So you have the ego battle that is leading to a battle on the field that I don't know how they're kind of winning in spite of each other right now, and it still seems to be working because they're both really great at what they do.
Yeah.
Skip, don't you find it interesting? A team that, you know, the injury report, a lot of this, what's going on with the injury stuff, was because of the Patriots. Because they listed nobody's injury. All of a sudden, the guy just wouldn't play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't on the injury report or nothing.
And they got called on it.
And they got called on it.
Yeah.
A team, Skip, I've never heard a player, of all the years, I've never heard a player mention being injured playing for the Patriots. Now, out of the blue, Tom Brady, the guy that's laser-focused, that doesn't mention anything, don't want any excuses. Jenny, you think it's odd? But all of a sudden, he's not playing up the standard. But the reason why I'm not playing up is the elbow. Now, Skip Bayless told me all-time great shouldn't make excuses. Because when LeBron James said he had a little nagging, LeBron, why would you build that into an excuse? Why would you give your team something like, man, LeBron is not at his absolute best. Mm. Tom, why would you do this? Mm. Now, because you're not playing well? Skip, the guy that threw Tom Brady, I heard, I don't know if it's true, that Tom Brady was the first guy in NFL history to throw for 500 yards without a thumb. Because remember, he lost his thumb in an accident. So he played the Super Bowl without a thumb.
Ha-ha.
Yeah, Skip! Didn't even want to talk about
it. That was a real injury.
He posted a picture of it, and it had 12 stitches in it.
Can you imagine that?
What did Coach Belichick say? He didn't have open-heart surgery.
He did.
That's what he said.
Completely discounted it. Right, he said it was a big media overreaction.
When Tom told, it's hard to tell, in 20 years of all this football Tom Brady's played a quarterback, a physical game, I've never heard him mention anything about injury. So this is the first time in 20 seasons that Tom Brady's been a little banged up, a little nicked. Is that what Tom Brady wants us to believe? No, because as you start to age, and I say this, Skip, as we start to age, the little ticky-tack injuries start to come with greater regularity, and they start to linger a little longer. Tom Brady's realizing, between this injury and Coach Belichick putting me on a one-way bus out of here, I don't think I'm going to be around here until I'm 45.
Mm.
You know that. I know that. I don't want to hear no excuse. Mm. Tom Brady has not played well this year. He's not playing well this year. And he came up out of the blue with all of a sudden my elbow. I want y'all to put this on the injury report because I want y'all to see me throwing for 190 yards. The reason why, because I got a little elbow. Now, I ain't buying it. I'm like Miss Melody. I'm not buying it, Skip Bayless. So you know what? I told you, Skip Bayless, this was going to happen.
Yeah, you've been telling me for 3 years.
No, I'm right this time. I'm right this time.
Oh, this time.
Yep, this time.
At some point, you're going to be right because he's 42 years old.
Yeah.
So maybe when he's 48, you're going to be right.
Hey, he upped the ante to my 47 because Coach Belichick said he's going to coach the. But for me, I agree with you on Coach Belichick, Skip. Here's a guy that's maniacal in his approach. Nothing. And once the season starts, he doesn't get outside. He doesn't come outside of his cage.
Mm-mm.
It's all about football. It's all about the next opponent. It's 1 foot. I don't know what's to the left. I don't know what's to the right. I don't know what's behind me because it's unimportant. And for him to take time out of the schedule, I understand it was a Tuesday, Skip. It's everybody's customary day off.
But it's his day of film study.
Yes.
And game planning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, remember, he called the reporters together.
Yes.
And the only other time I remember him calling his own little media session was the Saturday in the week off, at the end of the week off before the Seattle Super Bowl, because he wanted to tell the world. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Don't blame me for Deflategate.
Ask Tom.
Ask the quarterback. Don't look at me. I don't know anything about this. Ask the quarterback.
And the film study, Skip, Coach Belichick has been around this game. If he's 67, I'm going to say Coach Belichick has been around the league for 40 years.
Yep.
And I'm going to be conservative in that. And for most of the modern players, from the LT he coached, Reggie White, he was in the same division. A lot of these modern players, Coach Belichick either coached or coached against. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had to go back and watch tape of guys in the 30s and the 40s. Let's just say pre-Super Bowl or pre-merger, mm-hmm. I think was 66 when they had the merger. But Skip, but for him, for Coach Belichick to offer you a glimpse and say, yeah, I'm the coach, and I took great pleasure in having to study all the game tape and look at the different eras and the different players and the different coaches.
Hmm. It's a humble brag.
Yeah,
that's what they call humble brag.
He's
right?
I'm GOAT.
Yeah,
he's
I'm the GOAT.
He said, I don't know about who all going to make this team, but I know who the coach is going to be.
Yep. So I agree with you on that. I disagree with you on Brady because it's not about his age that he's talking about or that he's finally getting more hurt. It's about credit. They are vying for credit because Tom wants more credit than he is getting from the Shannon Sharps because what he's saying is, I have no weapons, and I'm playing hurt, and we're 10-1.
And Coach Belichick said, you get no credit because have you seen how you've been playing? It's the defense. Oh. What game is Tom Brady led a game-winning drive, Skip? Mm. When was that? Mm. Huh?
Well, he hasn't
winning
had
games.
To.
He's winning games.
Yeah, he's winning. He's great ride. Mm. Skip, like I said, he the dude in the nice car, but it's not his car. He in the passenger seat.
Boy,
he up there hollering at everybody. That went, hey, chick, let me holler at you. Come holler at your boy. It's not your car.
I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah, what he doing?
He's definitely not doing that.
Look at your boy.
I'm the
quarterback. Coach Belichick said, hey, bro, it's not your team.
Yep.
It's not your team.
Well, usually any Patriot would tell you it's a big disadvantage to disclose injuries because then people know, right? Oh, you got to.
But see, it's an advantage. So, because guess what he just did? So, that's why Tom isn't playing well. He wants the excuse. Mm. Tom Brady never mentions this. Mm. So, it's hard for me to believe. I played 14. I didn't play. So, Tom Brady's already passed me by 6 years. It's hard for me to believe this is the first time Tom Brady's had an injury. No shoulders, no elbow, no knee, no wrist. Mm. And he mentioned this.
Well, he had one big knee. We know that.
Yeah, wait, we saw this. Right. But I'm saying during the season that he's been able to play.
How long it's been. Yep.
Come on, Skip. You don't find that odd?
I find it very significant.
Yeah, I find it odd.
Yeah,
because he's playing like stir fry.
No,
and we got to have a reason why he's playing like stir fry.
We're going to talk about this later, but he's playing really well. Some throws in that game that were big time.
Where are the stats to back it up that he's playing well?
Thanks for asking. He leads the league in completions and in what are called catchable passes. Leads all league.
Yeah.
He's thrown more catchable passes than all the rest of the quarterbacks.
How many screens in jail? How many swing passes to the running back?
Those can be tough to throw.
No, they can't stop you doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say. Now, see, you normally point to QBR. He's number one in QBR. Mm. Not that. And completion percentage. Mm. He's not that. Mm. Come on, Skip Bayless. Mm. Completions under pressure. Touchdown passes. Touchdown interception. You should give me all these just rattle them off. This sound like I got this 39, 40, 41.
The only number that matters right now is 10-1, right? 10-1.
Oh, the defense doing a heck of a job.
Yeah.
The defense doing a heck of a job.
Wait, Shannon Sharp told me the defense is overrated.
No, the defense hasn't
played anybody, including my Cowboys right? Because you thought my Cowboy offense was overrated.
We've seen them. When they're playing the Dolphins and the Jets and all that. Okay, we're starting to see after 10, 11 weeks of the season, we get a sense of who you are. After 10, 11 weeks in the season, what do you see from the Patriots offense? Mm. I'm not talking about the defense. Forget the defense. Because Tom Brady,
I'll tell you what I see. It's what I don't see. I don't see a Gronk. I don't see an A.B.
I don't see
a Josh Gordon. I don't see anybody. I see Julian Edelman or bust. I finally saw one little flash of N'Keal Harry in the first round.
I know Tom Brady has never won a Super Bowl without Gronk. I know Tom Brady ain't won no Super Bowls without Gronk. Where was Gronk in the Atlanta Super Bowl? Was he there? You mean to tell me Gronk did not play in the Atlanta Super Bowl and they was down 28-3 and Tom Brady won? Oh, my goodness. Mm. What about those three previous Super Bowls before Gronk set foot in the NFL? Skip, stop doing this.
Helps to have somebody.
No. The Dorchester. Go get those guys. So those are the same guys. Yep. Those are the same guys that he won with. The Dorchester guys, he won with them.
He's throwing to them now. Mm-hmm. And their names are Gunnar Olszewski and Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo. Those are the three guys from Dorchester. Look them up. They're all from Dorchester.
Valdez Scantlin, Geronimo Allison.
Those are really good.
Those are not really good. Undrafted.
Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham. Boom, boom.
Skip. Wow. Now, you know Jimmy Graham
Tom
is not the same Jimmy Graham.
Guys. Sorry.
Well, you know it.
He's really good.
10-1. That's what matters right now. Mm. He's getting it done regardless of who he's playing.
And by the way, I would like to know the exact issue with the elbow? Because that's the one thing I don't
nothing.
Know.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Is it, zero.
Is it overuse or is it bone bruise or what?
It's nothing.
Is it cracked?
I know what it is. It's called excusitis.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That excusitis get, Jenny, when that excusitis get on you,
really?
Boy, it's hard to get. You can't put enough ice.
Well,
you can't take enough anti-inflammatory for that.
You know what's even worse? Ego-itis. And it's all over Belichick. He's so infected.
But hold on. But Tom ain't got no ego.
Yeah.
Tom, I just want to hear you say
it. He's got a big ego.
Okay. The greater the person, the bigger the ego.
Yep.
If Tom Brady is historically and pantheon great, as you say it is, his ego is equally to match. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear.
The dynamic between the two, Belichick and Brady.
I'm in Coach Belichick. I'm back in my coach.
Well,
forever.
Hey, I'm back in Brady, and Brady's got the big guy on
his
side.
I'm back in Coach Belichick.
Yeah. We are going to switch
Coach Belichick,
gears.
My guy. No mercy.
Guys, Mason Rudolph will be on the bench when the Steelers and Browns face off on Sunday for the first time since Myles Garrett hit the QB over the head with his own helmet. Rudolph was fined but not suspended for his part in the fight, while Garrett's indefinite suspension was upheld after his appeal. Fox Sports NFL analyst and former Steeler great, James Harrison, you're with us. You've been talking to us about this since it happened, really, and I want to start with you. What is your biggest takeaway from everything that has happened?
There is no takeaway. The NFL did what they felt was necessary. The fallout was, 2 weeks ago, 33 fines, over $730,000 worth of fine both teams. That's it. I expect the Steelers to come into this game focused, ready to, proceed to keep that sixth seed. They benched Rudolph, obviously, because, if you go back to that game in Cleveland, he was obviously their best player with four interceptions. So they did what was necessary to help advance that. And when Pittsburgh plays at home, it's a totally different animal. I believe their last loss was to Baltimore, and that was in overtime. Mm-hmm. Action Jackson, they picked him off three times.
They did.
The whole team, it was, 277 total yards, for that whole game. So I expect the Steelers to go in there focused on what they need to do. The guys that were really, truly involved in this incident, Pouncey, he's not going to play. Rudolph, he's not going to play because they benched him. And Garrett won't even be at the game. So the focus is going in there, winning this game, and proceeding on to, continue to hold that sixth seed.
So what did you hear from Steelers about Myles Garrett's allegation of the N-word?
The allegation of the N-word, I'm told, is an absolute false tale. For me, hearing that from them and knowing them, I believe them. And when I think of that, it makes me think that you didn't hear nothing of this until he actually had his hearing.
Yep.
So I believe he may have gotten to his hearing and said, I'm trying to lessen what I did and have a reason for it and said, you know what? He called me the N-word. And now maybe he didn't expect that to get pushed all the way out, but now it's out there. And now you're stuck with having to deal with this. With all the mics that they have on guys, cameras, microphones pointed, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to find out if this is true or false. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about it that
way. Okay, so what's the ultimate punishment for Myles Garrett? What do you think?
For me, I believe he's out the rest of the season. I think next year they're going to proceed, give him another four, maybe six games.
Whew, next year?
Yes.
Whew.
Yes. I'm going to make an example of you because I don't want anybody else to ever think that they can ever do this in a football game or a stadium in the NFL ever again.
And would you be good with that?
I would.
Wow. Because you've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anything like that.
Every time
I see
the
video,
this,
if you take, he ripped his helmet off, so he had the front end. If he had hooked his hand underneath and came over the top, he could have literally killed that man.
I'm so surprised it didn't crack his head open.
He got the back end of the soft end of the helmet.
There's some.
So he didn't get it with the top. Yeah. He didn't get it with the crown.
He got him with the back end of the helmet, the most flexible part of the helmet, and that's
still,
really what.
He still got him good.
Yeah.
Every time you see it, it does.
You can see the cringe in the face. That's like that boxer that take that hit here, and his whole side of his face get readjusted.
Yep, readjusted.
Yeah.
So what do you think about 4 to 6 games next year?
Well, I said, Skip, originally, I would be surprised if this doesn't bleed into next year. I was thinking somewhere around 2 to 4. I don't know about 4. Yeah, they might be 4 to 6. But I've been hearing sources say they hope. What do you mean you hope Myles Garrett that this suspension doesn't bleed into next year? You control that. I mean, obviously, you send him to counseling, and what? He says, I've learned my lesson. I'm sorry.
They're going to have him back to New York for another session to see if he's contrite or whatever.
Right. So it's going to be very interesting. But I would be surprised, Skip, if it's not at least a game or two bleeding into next year, because I agree with James, and I've said this. Punishment is not only about the offender. It's about to deter others from doing such said acts. Mm-hmm. And they want to send the strongest, harshest message they possibly can to let you know. We've seen this before. The message that they sent to another guy that did something that the NFL did not like and did not want to see happen again. The guy still isn't playing.
That is true.
For me, go ahead.
I said the day after, I said the rest of this year and one game next year just as a message game to your point. Listen, the NFLPA is going to fight like crazy if they go more than one game. They might even fight the one game.
Oh, yeah, fight all they want to. Yeah. This is something that you have never seen. This is unprecedented. Like, what could have been versus what actually happened, like premeditated versus actually getting the job done.
That is true. So how fortuitous is it that Mason Rudolph won't be playing in this game? Do you think that helps sort of, you know, deflate the tension a little bit?
It doesn't deflate or add any tension to it. I'm telling you right now, the Steelers are past this. They're focused on what they need to do to advance into the postseason. This Mason playing or not playing is a great thing for them right now because he is not going to be there to, like you said, kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they have Duck playing. They're going to go with him. He did an effective job last week.
He did. By the way, Devlin Hodges is an undrafted rookie out of Samford.
Samford.
Yeah, nicknamed Duck.
Duck.
But he doesn't throw any ducks that I can
see.
Right?
Skip, and for me, I don't believe Coach Tomlin made this decision like, oh, man, this might reoccur again if I play. No, this is a decision based on play.
Yes.
If you look at Mason Rudolph, the way he played in that game and the way he was playing last week in Cincinnati, he left Coach Tomlin no choice.
And you can't tell me he wasn't somehow distracted by all the fallout of it.
Yeah.
That it didn't take something out of him psychologically.
And plus, Skip, I'm in the sixth seed. I got an opportunity to make, as bad as we've played, everything that's gone wrong, we lost our quarterback like second week of the season, I still have an opportunity to make the playoffs. I'm putting the best 11 on offense, the best 11 on defense, and I'm going out there to try to maintain that. Because, Skip, you also, I've traded a first-round pick to get Minka Fitzpatrick. Now, I ain't trying to be picking in the top 10. I'm trying to make that pick as low as I possibly can for the Dolphins.
Yep.
So, and I got a chance, and Mason Rudolph, whatever transpired, bro, you were awful against Cleveland, and you carried that right into Cincinnati.
You
were awful. So Coach Tomlin had no choice but to go this route.
No, I agree. So Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite in what is a pivotal game
for both
teams. This is just me. I liked what I saw of Cleveland, albeit against Miami, but they started to feel like they were figuring it out. What's your gut on Cleveland?
I'm not buying into Cleveland. I'm not. It's the Dolphins. Come on.
They've won three straight, though.
They won three straight against the Steelers. He threw four picks. Come on. Actually, the best player for them was the quarterback for the Steelers. So before that, what was it? Buffalo. They just surprised them. They really, you know, they got out and actually got lucky.
They're just starting to look a little bit like what a lot of people thought they would look like from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, if Cleveland, look, you can't protect Mason Rudolph because the quarterback, he's the quarterback. If I can't get him, I'm going to get somebody. Get the guy to play in that position. If I'm Cleveland, I'm playing physical. I ain't going to do anything dirty.
Right.
But you talk about physicality?
Yep.
Woo! Steelers, y'all ain't never seen physicality like this.
So you like Pittsburgh in this game?
Of course, they're at home. You see how they play at home.
You like Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I like
Cleveland. No, I can't. Skip Duck. Duck, you gonna take a guy named Duck?
Okay.
They're gonna run the ball.
The last great Duck I know was the five heartbeats. Remember Duck?
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now. Duck is gonna go out there and duck goose all over them boys.
duck goose.
Okay.
Like
all right, Baker. Shake and Bake might be back.
I think it might be a little bit more of Duck.
TJ and Bud Dupree go ahead and smack. Listen,
the
offensive line is not like that.
The Cleveland offensive line is terrible.
Okay.
They terrible.
Cam. Just go bull.
Okay, you got
straight
I'm taking,
back.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
You better get over here.
Out of Pittsburgh.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You've been convinced.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Duck, duck, goose. We used to say duck, duck, gray duck in Minnesota. You always said duck, duck, goose.
Duck, duck, goose.
I think that's a Minnesota thing.
I don't know why.
I never heard of that.
Never heard that?
Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
Duck, duck, gray goose?
Duck, duck, gray goose.
Duck, like the drink?
Like the drink.
Oh, no, I ain't never heard that.
Okay, I'm going to have to check with my sources, because yeah, I've been told something wrong my whole life, James. Appreciate you being here. Yeah. Happy early Thanksgiving for you. Are we being fooled by Tom Brady's unimpressive stats this season? Rob Parker is here. He has a lot to say.
Yep. No mercy.
Tom Brady looked less than spectacular in the Patriots' 13-9 win over the Cowboys. The 42-year-old quarterback, I almost said 32, I don't know where that came up from. The 42-year-old QB completed, that's what I mean, less than 50% of his passes and failed to reach 200 yards. But one anonymous NFL executive told The Athletic, quote, "Don't be fooled by Brady's struggles and that Brady is still completely deadly." 42 years old. Just want to remind everyone of that. Joining us now, Fox Sports contributor, Rob Parker. What is your reaction to this one, Rob?
Completely deadly. Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah,
and I'm not buying that. That NFL executive, this is the, they love to do the lifetime achievement when it comes to Tom Brady. They want to give him mad respect. They want to act like this is going to be last year where maybe he didn't play that well during the end of the season, and then all of a sudden the playoffs come around and he wins. But if we want to be real about even last year in the playoffs, Shannon and Skip, he didn't have this monster playoff. Two in the three playoff games, including the Super Bowl, two touchdowns, three picks. That's all he had. He also only had, he had zero touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And let's go back. He's had, when you look at the last 12 games, seven of the last 12 games, he's had one touchdown or less. He's had four games with no touchdowns if you include the Super Bowl and the 11 games this year. So for him to say that Tom Brady is playing possum and he still got it, he doesn't have Gronk, he doesn't have Josh Gordon, he doesn't have Antonio Brown, who he had for a hot minute.
Keep going.
Right? He doesn't have any of those guys. Last year, finished in the top 10. Skip, you love the QBR and QBR. This year, 14th. Go look at completion. Last year, 18th, which wasn't that great. This year, 24th. So all the numbers that are coming in signal a change in Tom Brady. So for this executive to act like Tom Brady, oh, he's still lethal, and don't buy into what's going on. Tom is playing a little game. He's going to act like he's struggling and then all of a sudden light it up, that guy is totally off base and should resign as GM of the Lions. He must be the GM of the Lions because who else would be saying this?
You know, so I'm going to get this right. Follow me here, Rob. So Tom Brady is struggling because that's what he's saying. Don't be alarmed by Tom Brady's struggle. So he's actually struggling. So someone said that out loud, Jenny. So Shannon ain't making it up. I'm not a hater. Someone else said that, what I've been saying.
You are a hater, but you are you're overwhelmed by the hate of this man.
Who, me?
This is real hate. This is pretty big
Skip,
hate.
I've tried to tell you this as a player that once played, and I'm never going to tell anybody or try to make people believe I was as great as Tom Brady, because I wasn't, but I was a pretty good player.
You're a Hall of Famer.
The thing that happened to me as I started to get older, I couldn't summon those great performances like I could in my prime. Could I have a big game? Yeah. In year 13, I went for 214 in a game. I had three. In year 14, I had three. Had a game in which I had three touchdowns and went over 100 yards. So I could have a game here or there, Rob. But the consistency of putting those games back to back to back, I couldn't do it. And see what we see with Tom? Yeah, he can have a drive. Yeah, he can have a quarter, but the consistency of playing like that for the entirety of the game is no longer there, Skip. We haven't seen, early on last year, he played well. He struggled down the stretch, but you're like, okay. But now you're seeing it for a drive. You might see it for a quarter. Where's the consistency throughout the entirety of the game? We don't see that with Tom, and it's okay. Skip, all the time. Man, that Joker got a record that's unbelievable. That man, they keep talking about all these, he's unbeaten, and once he gets a
title. Undefeated.
No, he like 17 million and 0. Because he's unrelenting, Skip. You know what? Because he got as much Gatorade and has called as many timeouts as he wants. Because just when you think you got him, Nick, my elbow hurt a little bit.
Oh,
my
elbow.
Knee, my back. my knee and my back. No, Skip.
How's your back?
Great.
No father time around here?
No, it's not.
He's going to do it to both
Stop
of you
it.
Again.
Thank you.
You're going to have to eat so many words. It just keeps happening over and over. We have Tom Brady Groundhog Day on Undisputed year after year after year. The Hall of Famer said he's done in 2016. He's done in 2017. Rob's saying he was done in 2014.
At least I'm consistent.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
You haven't given
and
up.
And he still is not done. Tom Brady is 10-1. And the defense, according to the Hall of Famer, has been overrated all year.
No, that's not what I said.
That's what you said.
That's not what
they
I said.
Played nobody they, when they played
well, they
somebody.
Haven't played anybody.
Nick Chubb ran wild on them, and then the Ravens ran wilder yes. on that defense. Mm-hmm. It's way overrated. Tom Brady has been doing it with mirrors. Tom Brady has been throwing to the immortal Gunnar Olszewski and the immortal Jacoby Myers. These are undrafted free agents. And the immortal Matt Lacoste at tight end in place of Rob Gronkowski.
Do they have helmets and uniforms?
They have little to no running game this year because I don't know
Why
what happened
game?
To Sony
Michel. Why do you need a running
game? You got Tom Brady. Okay, but he has little to no. And until this past Sunday, he had no left tackle. So the offensive line was all-time leaky. In 20 years, he has had the worst protection this year of his all 20 years. And he's still afloat because he still leads the whole league in completions. He leads the whole league in what are called or deemed catchable passes. And he's tied for second in what are termed big pass plays. And he made a couple of big time clutch moment throws against my Dallas Cowboys on Sunday that were vintage Tom Brady. The first throw to N'Keal Harry for the touchdown, it's just Brady-esque. Yeah. It's just, here he is again. Watch this.
Skip it, you can have
Whammo.
One.
Perfect outside shoulder throw.
It's
beautiful. It's perfect. And then how about the later throw on third and long to Julian Edelman against quote-unquote double coverage. I don't even know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, here we go. This is Jordan Lewis and Xavier Woods. Look at this. Woo. That looked like a pretty mobile, athletic quarterback to me.
Was that
a
knuckleball?
Yeah.
I saw a little flutter on that.
But here's the thing. Also, as we start to get older, and the guy mentioned it, he mentioned about who he didn't have. You see, when Tom Brady was great, we didn't worry about who he had.
No, he would get credit.
Now, as you get older, you need more and more help do what you normally could do when you didn't need those guys.
He used to get credit, and the whole narrative about Tom Brady was he did more with less.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden,
he
that's his crutch. You can't have it both ways, Skip.
So the irony of this conversation
is, he used to say he'd make anybody great.
What quarterback do you love the most? Aaron Rodgers, who has become a declining, overrated myth, and you both continue to defend him.
He better than,
and he's
he better than
a
Brady right
once
now.
Always has been better than Brady.
Statistically, across the board, Tom Brady has had a better year than Aaron Rodgers.
No, he has not. Let me ask you a question, Skip Bayless. If I were to say, okay, I'm going to put Aaron Rodgers in with the same defense in New England, and I'm going to take Tom Brady, and I'm going to put him in Green Bay, are the records different?
Oh, yeah. Green Bay would be unbeatable.
What? Stop
it.
Hey, do you guys, have you been watching Aaron Rodgers? Did you watch what happened at San Francisco? Did you watch what happened against the Chargers?
Did you watch him when he had the five touchdowns and he ran in one? First time any quarterback did that since 1991. Oh. Mark Rippon. That's how long it's been.
Did you watch the last play of a home game?
Did you watch that one?
Did you watch the last play of a home game? Aaron Rodgers lost to the Beagles? The Beagles at Lambeau. Last play of the game, he fails to see a wide-open receiver in the corner of the end zone.
I watched your guy beat the Beagles, but he didn't throw a touchdown pass. Julian Edelman did.
Yeah.
Maybe he should play
that
quarterback.
Game?
That's a good point.
How about it? Who won that game?
No, see, it's always about that. Well, but look at Brady's stats. Four games.
Yeah.
No touchdowns. The Super Bowl.
Tom Brady
no
was
touchdowns,
so,
zero.
So upset after the game by lack of weapons and lack of protection, because remember he had some no-name guy in his seventh team at left tackle for that
you know
whole game.
You his name, Marshall yep. Newhouse.
Marshall Newhouse is there, and God
his
bless
his family
him.
Knows his name. Yeah,
okay, so Marshall Newhouse is attempting, and Tom Brady has to exit stage right. They're calling rollouts right for Tom Brady because he has no protection from his left tackle.
You see, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
He's starting to sound like a little Dak. Because you know when everything's perfect, the offensive line hold up, Zeke runs for 150, the offensive line is great, Dak can be good. I'm starting to see that with old Tom Brady.
Highest degree of difficulty of his whole career has been this year, and they're 10-1.
Because they beat
defense. He's going along for a great ride. He's riding a great car. Coach Belichick has got this car nobody has ever seen before.
The overrated defense, says Shannon Sharp.
Little discount.
Yep, that's what you told me.
We know the offense is over. It's not shouldn't be X-rated because they do jack.
That's how bad it's been.
Yeah, X-rated.
Okay. Boy, he sure did enough to beat my team.
That ain't saying much.
All right.
What about the Jets?
Right.
The Jets beat your team.
That's right.
The Jets beat your team.
We're going to have Rob stick around for this next one because it is the 10-year anniversary of Tiger Woods, the infamous car crash, and there are some things we need to talk about. That's next. No mercy. Today marks the 10-year anniversary of Tiger Woods driving his Cadillac into a fire hydrant at the end of his driveway on Thanksgiving, and eventually it would come out that the crash resulted from Tiger's wife at the time finding out about his multiple affairs, and we all remember everything there, but the fallout from the incident included most of Tiger's major sponsors dropping him and his reputation really taking a huge hit. Rob Parker, still with us, but Shannon, I am going to start with you. How do you feel about this 10 years later?
I still view Tiger the same way I viewed him before this and I viewed him after this, Skip. I think sometimes people get caught up and they think of a professional athlete or an entertainer, celebrity, that all of a sudden they escape human problems.
Yeah.
These are human. They have, you know, affairs and infidelity. They have substance abuse. They have mental issues. They deal with the gamut of emotions just like a person that's not a celebrity, that's not famous, that doesn't make a large sum of money. I didn't get all up. Like, I can't believe Tiger did that. They make it seem like Tiger was an evangelist, like he was a pastor, a Catholic priest or something, Skip. He was a golfer, a damn good one, but he was human. And I guess people thought that, well, you got all this money, you got a beautiful wife, all the problems that would normally befall upon a person that's not in that position all of a sudden wouldn't afflict you. No, nobody gets eyeballs to a television during a golfing event like Tiger Woods. Nobody gets people to the course when like Tiger Woods. There'll never be another Tiger Woods, Skip. But I didn't get, I mean, look, I think Nike was the only sponsor that stayed with him.
Yep.
So he still generates the public consumption. He's not the endorsement behemoth that he once was. Because as Jenny read, a lot of them, you know, they went away.
They did.
And didn't Nike even give up golf? Like selling golf they stuff for the most part, right?
Yeah.
They did.
They do apparel.
Right.
They don't do irons and golf balls like and things of that nature.
Yep.
But Skip, for me, yeah. I look at Tiger the exact same way. A lot of people like, I cannot believe Tiger did this. And we know why. We know the crux of this or why people fell out with Tiger Woods. Because I can assure you, in however long they've been playing professional sports, Skip, Tiger Woods is not the first athlete to have had an affair. He's not the first to have had multiple affairs. But he might be the first one that had a wife of the opposite race and how it was viewed, I can't believe. So we know what that is, that was about. But for me, he's still Tiger. I still watch him. That's really the only time that I'm going to watch a golfing event if Tiger's playing. Yep. He's not playing, Skip. Click.
I hear you. Go ahead.
I don't think Tiger's ever recovered fully. And I hear what you're saying. I don't think people expected him to be perfect. But his image that was painted out there for people that
Who painted that? You?
No, I'm just saying, like, in general. I don't know if it's his people, Nike, or whatever.
They promoted him this
wholesome guy.
Like the perfect husband and father.
Kids. You know what? Yeah. When you bring your kids out and you do all that stuff, people look at it, and I do believe. And then the details, Shannon. It's one thing if somebody steps out and maybe they have an issue in a minute. Why? The details are so salacious and so out there. Restaurants and the parking lots.
This wasn't one affair.
It was just.
Well, Rob, you're talking about like he went to the bunny farm out in Vegas.
Details were horrendous in a lot of ways.
This was far more than I could have ever imagined Tiger Woods being involved in. For me personally, everybody's different. So he's never recovered that image that I remember will never, when I look at Tiger Woods, I don't look at him the same way. And he has other things that I don't have the same. Mm-hmm. I've told this story a million times. I was so captivated by him. I'm in Japan on my honeymoon with my wife, and I'm watching him win the Masters. Mm-hmm. I was all in, Shannon.
Yeah.
I'm not all in now. And you know what? When he's in the hunt, I used to watch, and I don't watch golf all the time, but I used to watch.
Right.
I don't watch all the time, even when he's involved, unless someone says, turn the TV on, he's in the hunt, you know what I mean, or something. That's the only time I'm really engaged now. So when I look at Tiger Woods, I look at a guy who was nearly perfect, had everything lined up, who was going to go down as the greatest athlete who ever played any sport in this country. That's where he was headed. Who was derailed by infidelity and other situations. And now I look at him, and I just don't feel the same about Tiger Woods. Mm.
You both make strong points. To yours first. In covering sports as long as we have, you've been around them. I mean, it's almost like who doesn't cheat on wives? Mm-hmm. You know, who
not everyone.
I know, but it gets that way. It starts to feel that way. So is there shock? No, there's no shock there.
Right.
But to your point, it was such serial cheating when we knew nothing about any cheating. We thought he was the perfect husband and father according to his website and all the promotion that all of his sponsors pushed. They were selling him as the perfect husband and father. Husband and father.
Right.
And the details were so salacious that it even came out that he cheated on her in her house, and I think in her bedroom, as I recall. It's just so out of control that there was, I can only speak for my little inner circle of people, and obviously they're in my family, we're all white people, but nobody cared about the white wife. They just cared about the betrayal of, God, we trusted him, and he betrayed us. No, he's really just being who he was. His father had a reputation for being the same way, but in the end, it was the whole, the shock value of he's a fraud. The husband parts, it's fraudulent. And yet, I quickly just go on with that. It's like, okay, he's human. So, the presses, he's human, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't care about that as far as, am I going to watch? Yes, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat still. But I'm with Rob about it psychologically derailed his whole career.
It
shook him to his foundation. He had to go to sex rehab. He had to do a big press conference. He had to do a mea culpa. Cheated.
He went to sex Tiger was a freak. He don't need no rehab for that.
All right, but he did. And it was a big story that he went somewhere in Mississippi to some rehab center. And we saw pictures of him lurking outside, you know, like
with the hoodie on.
With the hoodie on. Okay. But the point is, when this happened, 10 years ago, he had 14 major championships. He now, incredibly, has 15, and the one that he won was the all-timer. Like, I didn't see it coming. I still can't believe he won the Masters.
Yes.
It was sensational. And I do believe he's, in my eyes, he's redeemed himself as a human hugely. He seems to be a really good guy now. Yeah. He used to be a tough guy to get to know. He was difficult with his competitors and with the media, and he's become a very likable Tiger Woods.
He got knocked off his
He did.
Perch. Yeah. And he has changed. I agree with that. But that the other thing too, Shannon, you know, it's one thing when you hear somebody's doing something and when people pull back the covers and read all that, and then that voicemail that he left his mistress that plays on every sports radio. Hello, this is Tiger. You know, and he's basically telling her that the phone call, that the wife was probably going to be calling her.
Yeah.
Can't get that out of my head.
Right. And then the image in your head of Tiger had taken an Ambien, so he's like dozing off, and his neighbors had to come out after the car crash and put a pillow under his head, and he's fallen asleep in the street after she has taken a golf club and knocked out both back seat windows.
Can you try to get
a
away?
Golf club. I know, I got it. But it's just a shocking vision in your head, right?
It's just, I guess it's just me, because I guess having been an athlete and how I perceive athletes, I don't look at them
as
the moral compass of how I should live my life.
No.
And a lot of people do.
No, I got it.
Well, a comeback of the ages. You know, no one's perfect, and he's come a long way.
He has.
We can all agree.
Chicago been roaring.
Yeah.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, golf course.
Rob, thank you. Have a great trip. We'll be looking forward to hearing some reports.
What? You don't want me to go?
Be safe.
Yeah, go.
Be safe. Bring your reports here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.